Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also my great pleasure to welcome four stars from the great firmament of comedy performance and writing who have joined me to sparkle and shine here tonight. And they are Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Barry Cryer, and Clement Freud. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep a score, and she'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four players of the game to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the radio theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, which is in the heart of this great metropolis of London, and we have in front of us a great cosmopolitan audience drawn from all quarters of the greater London area and beyond. Welcome to them as they cheer us on our way, hopefully. Hopefully. And we'll begin the show this week with Graham Norton. And who better? Graham, the subject is a sore point. But will you talk about a sore point in this game, if you can, starting now?
A sore point is essentially any point that is stuck in you. Ow! Gee, that smarts. Golly, that hurts. Ouch! These are the sorts of things you might say when attacked by a point that turns out to be sore. Obviously, a blunt point wouldn't be as sore as a point that wasn't.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation?
Yes, I think there was hesitation.
Do you?
Yes, I do. You can look at me with that curt look on your face, Graham, but I have to agree with hesitation. Clement, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject, a sore point, and 41 seconds are available, starting now.
A sore point, like Star Point, is a little-known beauty spot in the West Country.
Barry Cryer challenge.
Well, I think it's deviation. Assore is a small coastal town in India. Maybe of the identical name, I don't know. Perhaps we could ask the audience or any passing baboon.
I'm not going to risk that, not with this one. I'm just in the fact that there is a sore point in the West Country.
Do you know that for a fact?
No, I don't know it for a fact.
Well, I trust Clement's.
If you trust Clement's knowledge, then Clement has an incorrect challenge.
And I've got him a point, haven't
You've got him a point, yes. But you're very generous like that.
I know. Yes. I know. I'm a fool to myself.
An incorrect challenge, Clement, so you have 34 seconds on a sore point starting now.
A sore point on your body can be almost any place, anywhere, which pains you. Sore, you tell the doctor, and he says, take your clothes off, which you do readily. And sore points tend to make medics look down beneath the belt, because that is the most usual place for a
Barry Cryer challenge.
I felt he was drawing to a close.
Yes. I think he's wound down so far that it was almost hesitation, so we give you the benefit of the doubt, Barry, and have 12 seconds from you on a sore point starting now.
Assore is a small coastal town in India with a promontory sticking out from it known as Assore Point.
And what hesitation?
Indeed.
You made your point?
Yes.
But you paused.
And I feel sore.
I know. And Paul's gone in with 4 seconds on the subject of sore point starting now.
Well, if the doctor said to me, does it burn at the tip? I said, I've never tried setting fire to it, to be honest.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion was Paul Merton. And Paul has now got 3 points. Clement Freud has 2, Barry Cryer has 1, and Graham, who started so magnificently, hasn't got any, but that's just a minute, isn't it?
Mm.
Barry, would you take the next round? The subject is Punch. Tell us something about Punch in this game, starting now.
Punch, a historic magazine, now owned by the gentleman who runs Harrods, which I would buy if I won the lottery, if it weren't up for the hassle of trying to get an Egyptian passport. Years ago, I did, in fact, write for the aforementioned magazine, publication, magazine, I said twice, I
know,
think.
And Graham challenged.
I've said it 3 times now, Barry.
Yes. 3 times.
Graham, you've gone in. You've got a point for a correct challenge. You have 43 seconds. You tell us something about Punch, starting now.
Punch is delicious served at parties. In France, they refer to punch as au fond du coffre, which means from the back of the cupboard. Yes, any old drink you've ever brought back from holiday will be poured into a bowl.
Paul. Oh. Repetition of bag.
Yes.
Brought back of the cupboard.
Oh,
back
I do care.
Yes.
Paul Merton, you have a correct challenge. You have 29 seconds. Tell us something about punch starting now.
Henry Cooper was fighting Cassius Clay in 1963. This is before the Muhammad Ali boxer became world champion, and oh, I can't say Henry Cooper.
Sorry,
I think he was flagging a bit there.
He was, yes. He lost his gist.
Gist.
Yes, the flow, you lost your thought. Anyway, 20 seconds, Barry. A punch starting now.
Punch had a very famous dining room with a carved dining table, and round the wall were.
Tennis
and
challenge.
There were two dinings.
That's right. And
I do my own.
Clement, 16 seconds, Punch starting now.
I used to write for Punch many years ago. It was a humorous magazine which came out weekly. And the editor was a man called Alan Corran.
Paul Merton challenge.
Meditation?
Yes, I don't know why Alan should make him pause, but he did. And 7 seconds for you, Paul, with a correct challenge on Punch starting now.
The Alan Corran that Clement mentions now appears on Radio 4 in a news quiz. But as indeed Mr. Freud said, he did use...
Just a minute, Clement challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, I'm not Mr. to begin with.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Freud. I had no idea the operation had come through.
But while you are knighted, Clement, it is still possible...
I thought you were knitted. I'm sorry.
While it is still possible to throw you in the show business sense of saying Mr.
No.
You mean none of us must ever call you Mr. again?
No, Clement is fine.
I don't think he was strictly deviating from just a minute or the rules. So, Paul, you have a ponder point. Half a second, starting now.
Knight of the realm.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and has got a strong lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? The subject is the Millennium Wheel. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Last week, Sir Paul Merton invited me to come onto the Millennium Wheel, which is a splendid erection near the River Thames, sponsored by British Airways. And if you go on the Millennium Wheel often enough, you get an upgrade each time you fly. So I would like people to bear that in mind, because it would be sad if the Millennium Wheel didn't have as many customers as it deserves.
A Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation, I'm not a sir.
That's a good challenge, actually. That is correct.
Well, that's a better challenge.
Paul, the Millennium Wheel, 35 seconds, starting now.
It goes round and around and around and around.
Clement, yes. Hoisted on his own petard. Right, 31 seconds. You've got it back, Clement. The Millennium Wheel, starting now.
It gyrates and revolves and spins and rotates.
Graham,
it doesn't gyrate. No, I've been honest.
No, well, I don't know what you were doing in it, Clement.
The gyratory system at Hanger Lane in London doesn't judder. Gyratory means going round.
Well, no, the gyratory hanger system means standing still in a car.
Yes.
Although, strictly speaking, you can't stand still in a car.
No, yeah, but don't let's go into all that.
Unless you've got the roof rack.
I have decided that Graham has a correct challenge.
But gyrate means to go round. Clement was right.
Well, sir, he better be right.
Gyrate? Does it mean to go round, gyrate? All right, Clement, they all just... 26 seconds still available. The Millennium Wheel starting now.
It circulates in a clockwise direction from left to right if you stand to the south of the Thames, and in the reverse motion should you be on the north side.
I think we've worked out which way it turns.
Hesitation.
And I think we've worked out where it is as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And he couldn't find another way for Thames. So, 11 seconds, Millennium Wheel with you, Paul, starting now.
I've not yet travelled on the Millennium Wheel, but people I speak to say it is a wonderful experience. I'd probably go up.
Barry, Graham, you shall.
Two probably.
So, Graham, at last you got in on the Millennium Wheel. 3 seconds, starting now.
The Millennium Wheel is like making love. 15 minutes, thinking, ooh, we're nearly there, and then...
Oh, I'm glad you did get in, Graham. You spoke at the whistle end, gained that extra point, and you're 1 point behind Clement Freud, who's a few points behind Paul Merton, who's in the lead, and Barry Crowe, you're putting up in fourth place, and Paul Merton, your turn to begin telling tales. That's the subject. Talk on it, starting now.
Once upon a time, there lived a little man in the woods. His name was Barnaby Barnaby, and he used...
Graham, your lie came on first.
Are you trying to trick me?
One word. That was his name, Barnaby Barnaby. One word.
But we work in the realm of sound on radio.
Do we?
Yes. So what we hear is more important than what is written. And what we hear is Barnaby Barnaby repetition. And
but he's only got one name. That's his name, Barnaby Barnaby.
And in the rules of justice...
Am I to be penalised because this man has a silly name?
Yes, you are penalised because in just a minute, Barnaby Barnaby is repetition. And Graham buzzed first. So he's in with 55 seconds on telling tales, starting now.
In my brother-in-law's farm, we used to play a game called telling tales. It revolved around the dairy, where we put the cows against a wall and pull their tails out of little holes. And then we'd have to walk along a path and guess which cow was which.
Clement Freud, sorry.
Sorry. Hadn't we had a cow?
No, we had cows before, and it was cow the second time.
God.
All right, then.
Right. 39 seconds, Paul. Sorry, Graham, on telling tales, starting now.
Of all the tales I've been told, I think my favourite is that of Tir na n'Og, which is the Gaelic expression meaning land of the young. There was a fair maiden who lived upon this small thing surrounded by water, and there you remained not old forever. She came to the mainland to see a boy or something, I don't know.
Barry Crouch, huh?
Rather dilatory. Was there a repetition of old? Was this an old tale you referred to when you started? And then another old came along. And Clement's shaking his head in a very gyratory manner.
And so he's right. Graham.
I apologise,
right, Graham. 11 seconds.
Still got this.
Yes. Telling tales, starting now.
In a library once, thank you.
Paul Chance.
Well, if you hadn't argued with Barnaby Barnaby, you wouldn't be in this place.
So give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the comment or the interruption, but Graham gets another point for being interrupted and he keeps on with telling tales. 11 seconds starting now.
Telling tales is a super thing to do in the library of a Saturday afternoon.
Clement Freud challenge.
We have had the library before.
Yes.
Have we?
Yes. No, we never had a library.
Library, it's one word.
He was in the cowshed before.
No, we had the library.
Actually, I might have been in the library a second ago. Yeah.
You were, right. Well done, Clement. 7 seconds, telling tales. Starting now.
Once upon a time in the forest, there were two small girls called Polly and Maisie who followed...
So Clement Freud was speaking at the little end. Gained that extra point of another point in the round. He's now 1 point behind Graham Norton, who's 2 points behind Paul Merton is in the lead, and Barry is bringing up a very strong rear, and...
as if it was his own.
And Graham Norton, we're going to hear from you again. It's your turn.
Yes.
The subject now is the pyramids. Tell us something about the pyramids in just a minute, starting now.
In Egypt, mummies are kept in the pyramids, whereas in Ireland, they are kept in structures known as the bungalows.
Barry Crowe, chance.
Repetition of kept.
Yes, who kept?
Well, listen.
Barry. Tell us something about the pyramids, and you have 54 seconds starting now.
Howard Carter, the famous archaeologist, is always associated with the pyramids and the sarcophagi therein, and there is a legendary tale of the aforementioned man seeing a bandaged figure coming out, pressing its lips to its bandaged appendages at the end of its arms, which he then sang, "I saw a mummy kissing Sandy Claus." This tale...
Clement's quite challenged.
Ribs, isn't
Ribs, oh, I'm so mummy. Ashamed. I've always said it like that.
But unfortunately, you did repeat mummy, and Clement got in first. 32 seconds. Pyramids, Clement, starting now.
The Pyramids is a not very well-known pop group consisting of seven people who were previously called the Wife Fronts because they gave such enormously reliable support. The Pyramids, if you look at them carefully, consists of a violinist, a pianist, an oboe player, and a flautist. Two chaps on a euphonium, and then...
I think they let you go, Clement, because they enjoyed watching you struggle, but eventually, an act of mercy, Paul challenged, and he's got the Pyramids. 6 seconds starting now.
Mr. Barnaby was the man who invented the Pyramids back in the early days of the 18th century.
And... Paul Martin's taking the whistle and gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, acupuncture. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I know acupuncture is said to be enormously effective, but I have no great faith in it. I met a man who went to an acupuncturist, and as a consequence, because the acupuncture expert gave his treatment to many people who wanted to stop smoking, this man began to start to smoke. He had 46 cigars on the day after his initial appointment. And thereafter was a tremendous fan of Players, Woodbines, Wills, Capstans.
Barry Crouch.
Just an inquiry. What was the last brand? Drills.
No, it was hesitation.
WD.
It was hesitation. On a point of information, was it drills?
Wills.
Oh, Wills.
Wills.
Wills Whips.
That's right. That dates you. That goes right back to pre-war.
Yes. No. Carbon dates me. only a camel can satisfy me. Yes, Nicholas. Yes.
And 26 seconds, acupuncture starting now.
Acupuncture practiced by acupuncturists. Do they get pins and needles, I ask myself. I have been completely pierced in my time, and I can vouch for the efficacy. Efficacy.
Clement Norton challenges.
Did you hear the F?
Yeah. Well, but there was a bit of hesitation. Was there
hesitation?
Yes,
that
was hesitation.
You were struggling with efficacy.
Yes.
And you've got in, Graham, with 14 seconds on acupuncture, starting now.
I believe acupuncture is very effective, because no matter what is wrong with you, someone sticking a big needle in you is going to distract you from that pain, ache, or disease. You're going to think, actually, whatever is ailing me isn't so bad after all.
Well, Graham Norton, again speaking as the whistle went of another point, has moved forward. He's now only 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton. Then comes Clement Freud and Barry Cry in that order. Graham, your turn to begin, and the subject is My Address Book. Tell us something about My Address Book. Don't mean my personal one. Take the subject. Start now.
My Address Book reads like a veritable who's that of show business. Yes, everyone is listed under N for nobody. I worry sometimes that the famous people I meet never seem to want to become my friend. I worry about it sometimes late at night as I toss and turn.
Barry Crouch.
Well, there two sometimes is.
Yes. I sometimes worry about it.
Sorry. Mm.
It's all right.
Sorry.
It's all right, no.
I'll never be your friend.
Barry has got in with a correct challenge. 43 seconds, Barry. My Address Book, starting now.
My Address Book is a veritable panoply of my life, representing, as it does, so many people I have met through the years. Lou Amour, what a superb name, a beautiful woman in Cheltenham. Why did I say anywhere?
Because you thought of Lou Amour.
Yes,
you just
I
went.
Did.
You went.
Oh,
you see it in your eyes, actually.
She's listening.
You're a Western novel.
Right. You press first, Paul, hesitation. 10 seconds, My Address Book, starting now.
I'm possibly the last person who has an address book without postcodes, London W1H14.
Then Prem McClive was speaking at the whistle end. Then the next point of another point in the round. He's now equal with Grant Norton and Paul Merton is still just ahead of them. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Brussels. Tell us something about Brussels in this game starting now.
It's very important if you have a lisp, a hyena who ate every other day, an official who worked for...
Paul Chalmers.
Drugs.
Yes, so what's the challenge on the rules in just a minute?
It's a deviation, isn't it? Not a hyena and an official every other day. We would have heard about it by now, surely.
I'm sure you're right. If there had been a hyena eating every day in the European Parliament in Brussels, we'd have heard about it by now. Paul, you have the correct challenge. And you have 24 seconds. Brussels starting now.
I keep a hyena in the attic and I feed it with Brussels sprouts every other Wednesday, which isn't very good because ideally they should be eaten every day. It's a curious creature, the Brussels sprout, because it's one of those funny looking...
Graham's challenge.
It's not a creature, really, the Brussels sprout.
No, it's a creation of God.
Yes.
No, deviation.
No, it's not at all.
It's not a creature at all. It's a vegetable.
Nothing like one.
Graham, 12 seconds. Tell us something about Brussels, starting now.
Brussels is a very depressing, dreary place. I would rather shoot myself than go there. I don't intend to get a free ticket from Eurostar for this big plug I'm giving that horrible city now. Oh, it smells.
So, a keen contest for points about the honours and humour are pretty evenly divided. As we go into the last round, you might be interested to know that Graham Norton is trailing Paul Merton by 1 point, and a few points behind him is Clement Freud, and a few points behind is Barry Grier. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is water under the bridge, and you start now.
It's a very necessary ingredient for the game poo sticks. The rules are simple. You drop your stick into the water and then run to the other side of the bridge to see who's come out first, whether you or your opponent. Simon and Garfunkel had a marvellous hit record in 1969, I believe. It was written by Paul S.
Clement Chance.
Sorry, I thought you'd said Paul before.
Yes, it did sound like it. No. Simon and Garfunkel.
Big mistake.
Not much like Paul, but it doesn't matter. And 40 seconds. Water under the bridge. Still with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, it's got to go somewhere, I suppose. So you stick a bridge over a bit of water and there you are.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition stick.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, listen, Clement. 36 seconds. Water under the bridge starting now.
Water under the bridge is absolutely okay. What you have to worry about is water over the bridge. It's called a flood.
Barry, you challenge.
The flood dried up rather.
No. 26 seconds, Barry, with you. Water under the bridge starting now.
The only time I visited Brussels, I stayed in a hotel where the concierge looked rather like an ugly Khrushchev. And when I went up to my room, I plugged in my electric razor and all the lifts stopped.
Barry, you challenge.
Can I press my button?
Yes,
I was boring myself to tears.
I know you were, because you were talking on the wrong subject.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's in the effect.
This is how this game gets people after time. But you very cleverly challenged yourself.
Yes. And I knew there was something wrong. I had that feeling.
So what is your challenge? Deviation?
Deviation.
Yes, well, that is the correct challenge. That is the correct challenge, Barry.
Yes.
Well, listen to yourself.
Yes.
And so there's a correct challenge. I had to give you a point for a correct challenge. And say it was,
my ploy has worked.
Yes. And you keep the subject.
What was the subject? Never... It seems so long ago, Nicholas.
The subject was water under the bridge. Yes, and there are 14 seconds left, starting now.
A charming older lady went into a music shop in the West Country and asked for the record of trouble over Bridgewater. The assistant disabused her of this notion and informed her it was, in fact, a hit by Simon and Garfunkel, which she then purchased.
So Barry Clyde, and speaking as the whistle went, brought this game to an end with a magnificent flourish and great panache and style. and finish in a very strong fourth place. I've never had anybody finish in fourth place and get a bigger cheer than that. But it was a strong finish because, Barry, it is your contribution which you enjoyed. And in a very good third place was Clement Freud. And in a very, very, very admirable second place was Graham Norton. And in a fine first place, only 2 points ahead of Graham, was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. Thank you very much. Then it remains me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game. Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Barry Cryer, Graham Norton. I thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me with the score and blowing her whistle so delicately. And also we thank Claire Jones, who is our producer and director and has to make sense of all the things we do. And we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this magnificent game. And we're indebted to our audience who come in off the streets of London just to cheer us on our way. They've been warm, they've been passionate, and we've loved them dearly. So from our lovely, passionate audience, from our passionate panel, and from your passionate chairman, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye. Thank you.